Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Stand for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the danger of discounting the soul. Father, we're thankful this morning that we are privileged to gather in the name of Jesus again. Lord, we count it a wonderful privilege to come together with your people and worship God in spirit and in truth. I pray that this morning, Lord, you'd make very real to us your presence in this house. And reveal to us your greatness and your glory in a way that we've never known before. I pray, Lord, that when we leave here, we'd leave here with a greater appreciation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and a deeper commitment to him. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' worthy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The danger of discounting the soul. In my text, Jesus emphasizes the importance of saving our soul. He came to direct our attention. This is one reason why Jesus came into the world. He came to direct our attention to issues of eternal consequence. Fallen men have a tendency to value things of little worth and to devalue things of infinite worth. Did you hear me? I said fallen man has the tendency to value things of little worth and to devalue things that are of infinite worth. And so Jesus confronts us in my text with something of infinite worth. Our soul. He said in verse 26, What is a man profited? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul, or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus came to do more than just correct our estimation of the soul. He came to rescue our souls from destruction. There's no man who recognizes the worth of his soul that can take lightly the mission and the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to save your soul, brother. I want to focus your attention this morning on three things. First of all, the value of the soul. Secondly, the saving of the soul. And thirdly, the accounting of the soul. First of all, we see in my text the value of the soul. Jesus emphasizes the value of the soul by asking two questions. The first question is, what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The second question is this, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at this first question. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? In life, we are constantly making value judgments. We decide what things are most important to us. And we center our life around our priorities. We pursue the things to which we assign worth. We center our life around our priorities, around those things to which we assign worth. And Jesus said that your soul is worth more than the whole world. Did you hear this? Jesus said, your soul is worth more than the whole world. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? That is, if he could gain the whole world, the sum total of its wealth. If it were possible for him to seize all the real estate in the whole world, to confiscate every bank account in the whole world, to harness the productivity of every human being in the whole world, the sum total would be of less value than one soul, brother. I'm telling you, if a man gains the whole world, the sum total of its wealth, and loses his soul, he's lost. Not only the sum total of the world's wealth, but the sum total of its acclaim. If a man could garner the adoration of the masses of mankind, if he could gain the affirmation of the whole world, it could not equal the value of his soul. Men seek for the applause of society and they sacrifice their soul. But the applause of the whole world is not worth your soul. What will a man, what is a man profited if he shall gain the applause, the acclaim of the whole world? The whole world, the sum total of its amusements. What is a man profited if he gains the sum total of the amusements of the world, the entertainment of the world, so that he spends his life pursuing, participating in every pleasure known to man, the parties, the games, the sports, the music, the singers, the animals, the actors, all of life's pleasures cannot equal the value of one soul. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, the pleasures of the whole world, and lose his soul? Listen to me. Anything of less value than the soul cannot satisfy the soul. Did you hear me? I said anything of less value than the soul cannot satisfy the soul. Solomon sought to satisfy himself in a wide range of human experiences. He sought it in wisdom, in wealth, in pleasures, in grand estate projects and buildings, in nature projects, and cattle, and farming, entertainment of all kinds. And after he's experienced all of these things in life, he sums it up like this. This is the verdict of King Solomon of all that the world could offer. He said all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Because I'm telling you now, if you're listening to me, I'm telling you that anything of less value than your soul cannot satisfy your soul. The amazing truth about us is that we sacrifice our souls for just trifling pieces of the world. Did you hear me? I said we sacrifice our soul for just trifling pieces of the world. When the whole world itself could not equal the value of your soul, and we sacrifice our souls for just trifling pieces of the world. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Most people are like Esau, who despised his birthright and sold it for a bowl of soup. Sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Brother, I'm telling you, most people that go to hell over trifling matters. Just a little small piece of the world. they give their soul to just a small piece of the world when the whole world cannot equal the value of one soul. Brother, people in this service right here, no doubt people right here sitting under the sound of my voice are discounting the value of their soul. People will lose their soul over a job, a house, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a hobby, an entertainment, societal approval, seeking to be popular with the world. But what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, the wealth of the whole world, the acclaim of the whole world, the entertainment of the whole world, and lost his soul? What would it profit him? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Jesus has another question. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? One man translated that like this. Listen to me. What price would a man pay as a ransom for his soul? You know, once a man has lost his soul, once our soul has been lost, once we enter into the realm of the doomed, when we begin our eternal sentence, when we enter the fires of hell, when we're suffering for valuing the world over our soul, what would a man give in ransom for his soul? What would he pay to get back the opportunity to value his soul? What would a man give to release his soul from its prison? What value would we place on our soul when we have lost our soul in hell? You ask the rich man. Ask the rich man. Ask him, would he give everything? Would he give everything, all of his wealth, for his soul? I'm telling you, brother, he'd count it a cheap price to give everything to ransom his soul from the fires of hell. Every man in hell has a clear understanding of the value of the soul. Did you hear me? I said every man in hell has a clear understanding of the value of the soul and the cheapness of the world. Priorities are corrected in the fires of hell. I said priorities are corrected in the fires of hell. Proud men pray in hell. They didn't pray on the earth, but they pray in hell, brother. I'm telling you, you may leave God out of your life. You may not have any time to pray. No time to attend to your soul. But you're going to pray in hell because priorities are corrected in hell. The rich man prayed in hell. I need just one drop of water touched to my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Priorities are corrected in hell. Proud men pray in hell. And self-righteous people beg for mercy in hell. They may not have begged for mercy on the earth. They counted what they could gain with their hands on this earth, filled their hands full of this world, and felt no need for the mercy of God. But I'm telling you that self-righteous people will beg for mercy in hell. The fires of hell correct priorities, brother. And self-centered people worry about their loved ones that they know are making their way to hell. They may not have thought about it in life. Might not have bothered them that their loved ones were going to hell. But when they get to hell, they understand then that it's a tragedy and they're concerned about others are coming that way. And the rich man said to Abraham, send Lazarus back to yonder world. I've got five brothers. Tell them, don't come to this place. Brother, on earth, men grasp at the world and they disdain their soul. But in hell, men abhor the world and mourn over their soul. Jesus wants to correct us right now. He wants us to understand the value of our soul right now. He wants us to get our priorities straight right now. Not when we're in the fires of hell, when we cannot reverse things, when we cannot change our destiny. But now, while we can have something to say about our destiny, Jesus wants to correct our perception of our soul. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What price would a man pay as a ransom for his soul? Secondly, I want to deal with the salvation of the soul. Jesus not only corrected our estimation of the soul, but he came to save our soul from eternal misery. Salvation consists in following Jesus. Jesus said in my text, if any man will come after me, thank God he said, if any man, it don't matter who you are, it don't matter where you come from, if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Salvation consists in following Jesus. And following Jesus consists of getting on the path with him and going the same direction as he's going. Following Jesus is proof of our faith in Jesus. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 39, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that word believe is not in the past tense. It is in the present tense. So it's not the person who has believed that's going to be saved. It's the person who is presently believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as one experience doing you for all time and eternity. If you believed in the past but you do not believe now, you cannot be saved unless you continue to believe. So we are not of them that draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, brother. This is what the soul, this is how the soul is saved, believing in Jesus, following after Jesus. The saved love Jesus. They learn from Jesus. And they live like Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what it means to follow Jesus. We learn from him. We love him. And we live like him. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Saving the soul involves the sacrificing of self. Verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Saving the soul involves the sacrificing of self. You spare self, you doom the soul. You sacrifice self and save the soul. First of all, Jesus said you got to deny yourself. Deny means to restrain oneself. 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Hold yourself off from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. deny the appetites of your body because you have got to save your soul. And you cannot give in to the appetites of the body and save the soul at the same time. You got to deny yourself. And we tend to favor the body over the soul. We feed the appetites of the body. We starve the soul. But Jesus told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's no doubt people sitting right here in this service this morning, you've starved your soul all week long. You've not eaten from the table, the master's table, and you're starving your soul and taking good care of your body. Job said, I have esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. There's got to be some denial of self in order to save the soul. But not only denying ourselves, we've got to take up our cross. He said he's got to take up his cross. A cross involves sacrifice and suffering. If you saw a man carrying a cross, Dr. Ravenhill said, if you saw a man carrying a cross, there's one thing you knew. He wasn't coming back. He was going to die. And Jesus let us know in verse 25, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. All right, get this now. Oh, you hear me? Listen to me now. We're talking about losing your life. We're talking about gaining your life. And if a man saves his life, verse 25, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now, what Jesus is saying is this. The man who saves his life is the man who refuses the cross. He don't aim to get involved in suffering or sacrifice. So he rejects the cross and saves his life for himself. Jesus said he's going to lose it. He aims to live without interference from Christ. No cross. I'm telling you, no cross, no crown. But then he says, Jesus says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. To lose his life means that he takes up his cross and he renounces his own will and submits his life to the will of God. That is taking up our cross. It's impossible to follow Jesus unless you deny yourself and take up your cross. It is impossible. Hear me now. It is impossible to follow Jesus unless you deny yourself and take up your cross. Life must be disciplined to be Christ-like. You will not keep pace with Christ if email and Google and texting and talking with friends and family keeps you from spending quality time with Christ on your knees and in the Word of God. Nobody in this place ought to spend less than 30 minutes a day with Jesus. And everybody here ought to be aiming for at least an hour a day in communion with Christ. And some of you might can do better than that. But you got to deny yourself to do it. Anybody who's going to follow Jesus cannot follow Jesus unless you deny yourself and take up your cross. Mortify the deeds of this body. Die to self and sin and commit your life to a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, there is the accounting for the soul. For in verse 27, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." There's a reckoning day coming. And that reckoning day has to do with what did we do with our soul. And Jesus is going to call us into account for our soul. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus gives the parable of a rich man whose crops produced bountifully. He decided he'd expand his storage capacity, made his plans for the future. "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He sounds to me like a retiring American. One who's worked hard, saved his money, and now then he says, "I'm going to take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God wasn't pleased with that. He wasn't pleased with this attitude. His plans, this man's plans for the future, revolved around personal pleasure and not personal sacrifice for the spread of the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Christians don't look at retirement like the world does. The world looks at retirement as, "This is my time." God looks at it and says, "You've got time for me now." And instead of life revolving around personal pleasure, life is to revolve around personal sacrifice for the good of the kingdom of God. Opportunities are now available that weren't available before for us to build the kingdom of God. The divine verdict came swiftly. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." This man entered into his time of accounting. Accounting for his soul. He entered into that time designated by God as a fool. I'm telling you, he is a fool that pampers the body and neglects the soul. He is a fool that values temporal things over eternal things. He is a fool that makes provision for the appetites of the body and starves the soul. He is a fool that lays up treasures on earth and fails to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He's a fool that feeds the mind on useless knowledge, whether it be the internet, romance novels, feeding his mind on useless knowledge while neglecting the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Word of God. That man is a fool. And the day of reckoning is coming to everybody in this sanctuary this morning. Matthew 10:28 says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, I've lost about 2/3 of you this morning, but I've got a real serious message for you this morning. And this message comes directly from Jesus. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul. You don't take it seriously right now. Some of you sitting on these pews, you do not take it seriously right now. Some of you young folks cannot get in your minds anything about the value of the soul. But everybody in hell understands the value of the soul. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Brother and sister, I'm just as serious as I can be with you this morning. Because there are perishing people sitting on these pews right now because you do not value your soul. And one reason that you discount the value of your soul is you are seduced by the attitude of the world around you. We have a herd mentality, you know. I read about in eastern Turkey a group of shepherds eating breakfast. And they watched as one of their sheep jumped over a cliff 45 feet to his death. And then in horror, they watched, stunned, as 1,500 sheep followed that one sheep over the cliff. We are like that, brothers and sisters. We have this herd mentality. If everybody's doing it, it can't be too wrong. If this is the attitude of everybody, it can't be too wrong. But I'm telling you, Jesus came to correct our attitude toward our souls. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Hey, listen, when you get to hell, brother, you'd gladly give everything you've got in order to ransom your soul. But what about now? What about now? If I had a house payment, if I could not pay my tithes and pay my house payment, I'd sell my house. I'd buy me something that I could pay my tithes with because I don't want to go to hell. If I had a job and that job kept me out of the house of God and cooled my affections for Jesus Christ, I'd give up the job and trust God to give me another job, where I could be in the house of God to hear the preaching of the gospel and feel the wooing of the Spirit of God, be confronted with the truth of God's word and escape hell, brother, and save my soul. If I had a habit, if I had a hobby, kept me from my prayer time, kept me out of the word of God, kept me from sacrificing myself, so that I could be a blessing for the kingdom of God, I'd get rid of that hobby. I'd sell it. I'd get rid of it. Because there is nothing, you hear me, there is nothing in your life worth losing your soul over. And some of you have got things in your life that have made you discount your soul. You hold it more precious than your soul. You're going to die and perish in hell because you discounted the value of your soul and held on to things that were more important to you than your never dying soul. I'm talking about people right here sitting under the sound of my voice. And I know you've heard me for years and years. And Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. And you may think, well, that's just the preacher up there spouting off again about the urgency of my soul. But it ain't just the preacher spouting off about the urgency of your soul. It's Jesus with a message for you. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? What would a man give in exchange? Oh, God. What would a man give when he's lost it? When he's lost it, what would he give to ransom that soul? If some of you here losing it, you're losing it. year and a half ago, God kept me up all night long. I came to this pulpit the very next Sunday. I prophesied to you. I don't do that. I don't do that unless I know God has spoken to me. I came and prophesied to you. I said, God has told me judgment is coming. I heard the hoofbeats of the horses, as it were, the flashing of the sword, the glistening of the weapons of war. Saw the fist of God raised. I came and told you, some of you are not listening to the truth of God's word, and it's a serious thing. And judgment's on the way. I doubt if any of you ever even remember it. But I can't forget it. And I still know that there are souls in this church that are still ignoring the warnings of God. My heart's broken. Friday night I wept at this altar. I wept over souls in this place because I know you ain't listening. God's trying to speak to you and you ain't listening. And you think somehow you're going to get by the judgment of God playing with your soul. The Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And I'm almost trembling right now, because you are precious to me and you're ignoring the word of God. And there'll be a day, if you don't heed the word, there'll be a day you'd give the whole world. You'd give the whole world for 5 more minutes in a service just like this. I said you'd give the whole world for 5 more minutes in a service just like this. And my heart's broken. Because you don't value your soul. I want us to stand together. The altars are open. And if there's a soul here, you know how you've been living. You know what you've been doing. You know how you've disregarded the warnings of God. The altars are open. The altars are open. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lost his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? We're waiting just a few moments here. We're not going to prolong this service unnecessarily. I know in my heart that God has spoken, and you have got to do something with it. And we're going to wait just a few moments. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there two? Is there three? Sitting under the sound of my voice, if you have not listened to the voice of God, it's time for you to respond. We've got one in the altar. Is there another one? Is there another one? We've got one in the altar. Is there another one? Is there one more? got another one on the way. Is there someone else? We got a third one on the way. Is there someone else? We got some more on the way. Is there someone else? Some more on the way. Is there someone else? Has God spoken to you today? It's time to get down to business with God. Others are coming. Oh, God. Woo! Oh, glory. They're coming. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Be honest with God, children. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. If there's sin in your life, confess it right now. If we confess it, God is faithful. Oh, hallelujah. It may not be things you've done. It may be things you've left undone. You've not prayed. You've not sought God. You've not been sincere in your devotional life. You've allowed things in your heart that shouldn't be there. You've failed to do what you know God wants you to do. Call on Him, children. Call on Him, children. Call on Him, children. Call on Him, children. Call on Him, children.